Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Rat Sally View. Today we are joined by Dead Man's Hand. We have John and Trey from the band. Trey, you're the vocalist, right? And guitar player?
Correct, yeah.
And John, yeah. You've been on the show once before. You were in your other band, Love and War.
And that's correct.
Yep, and you're also playing guitar in this band as well, right?
Play guitar, background vocals, lead guitar, yep.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. And you guys got a single out called Devil's Do. I listened to it the other day. Ben from Online Metal Promo sent it to me. It's very different from the usual stuff that we do on this show. We usually do it like hard rock and heavy metal, but you guys are doing a southern rock type of thing. And you guys, and like Love and War is more of like a hard rock type band. And I haven't heard your other band, Trey. What's it called?
Azrael Spain.
Yes.
For both of us, both John and I both, you know, we've been doing hard rock and metal for most of our careers, and we decided to start this thing, just wanted to try something a little different, some stuff that I'd had in mind for a long time that I always wanted to kind of explore, and called John up and said, hey, man, I want to do this, and he was on board, so we jumped in with both feet, and we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for me, I love all types of music, but, you know, as being influenced by hard rock metal guys like Michael Schenker and stuff, you know, as a guitar player, I mean, I would have loved to have been inspired by Alan Collins of Lynyrd Skynyrd, but, you know, Schenker was a much more flashy dude. But at the time, I mean, when I was 12 years old, I heard Schenker. I mean, I loved Lynyrd Skynyrd. I loved all kinds of different types of music. I loved the Allman Brothers and you know, everything. And so when we got this opportunity to try something a little bit different, it kind of started off more of like an earth tone kind of rock, you know, if you will, or it kind of blossomed into this southern rock thing, or we like to call it outlaw rock. So it just really all came together.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's got some bluesy type influences in it as well, I noticed too. Yeah. So
Yeah, I think it probably depends on the song, but yeah, I mean that single "Devils Do" definitely does. But yeah, we were just trying to, you know, it started out as I had written a bunch of stuff that I didn't have an outlet for, didn't have a band that I could do it in. It wasn't stuff I could do with the band I was in at the time, and I just kind of kept writing these songs and sitting them on a shelf. And one day I had enough of them where I was like, man, I should do something with this stuff, and made some calls to some friends. My initial intention was just to maybe do a solo record or something. And, John was one of the first guys I called, just asking if he was interested in exploring it. And he was, so he jumped in, and we started from there. And, you know, that was quite a few years ago. And then we started writing stuff together, and it just kind of grew into what it is now. And it's a cool thing, man. So.
Yeah, I was reading the bio. It says you guys started this in like around 2009, 2010, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, what was going on with the band then? Like, because that's a long time ago. This is 2024 now.
I think it's you know, both of us and the other guys we've had involved have had other, you know, had other projects going on that, that were taking, you know, front seat. So, right. You know, John had Love and War, and they, you know, those guys were hard and heavy and out there hitting it hard. And, I was really busy with Azrael's Bane, and we were doing this as just basically a side project. You know, we do a show here and there, and all along we were writing songs together and stuff. But I think it was for many years, it was just something we did on the side. Mm. And then I guess, you know, recently within the last couple of years, we decided to get a little more serious about it and, you know, started really focusing on it a little more and decided it was time to get a record done. And so, you know, we're doing that now. And I think our focus is more, at least mine is anyway, much more on this band than anything else. So it's just time, you know? So, but it took a long time for us to, for things to free up where we had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And we went in the recording studio, we recorded 10 songs. We're hoping at this point by the end of the summer to be able to release a full length CD. We released Devil's Due, our first single. We're currently midway through the recording of the video for the next single, which is called Bobblehead Jesus. Okay. And we're hoping to have that one released by, I would say, I don't know, Trey, end of March.
Yeah, at the latest, probably, yeah. I mean, we should pretty much, right, we're shooting, what, this coming weekend. So, yeah. You know, we're already did most of the shooting already. We just have another probably half day shoot to knock this thing out. And then it's just editing and the song's done. It's recorded and mixed and it ready to go. So it's just, we want the video done before we release everything. And then, I would think the end of March at the latest probably should be out.
Very cool. So these songs weren't previously recorded back in like 2010 or whatever. You're doing these as you're going basically, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's new. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, they're new. Yep.
So have they changed? Then, okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, like back then when we first got together, within the first year, we did a demo, an EP, if you will, of what, 5 songs, I believe. And most of those songs we don't even really play anymore. And so like through the years, we've written a lot of songs and we went in the recording studio, really picked our top 10. We probably already have another record written. We're writing songs all the time, but everything on the new record that's about to come out, you know, it's all I would say all fairly new stuff, you know, at least in the last 5 or 6 years. Some of the stuff even newer, but
I think we re-recorded one that's from the EP, one song that we're putting on this record, and that was by the rest of the band's insistence. I kind of fought against it because I've been playing that song for so long, I'm sick of it, but people seem to dig it, so we did re-record that one. But other than that, everything else in this record is brand new. So but yeah, I mean, like as John said, when we first got together, we took the handful of songs that I had and we just did a really quick, it wasn't even supposed to be an EP, man, it was a demo, really is all it was. We did it in the weekend, and you know, somehow somebody convinced us that we should release it, which probably wasn't the best idea in the world. Cause like I said, it was, but the songs are cool. It just, you know, we didn't spend any time recording it at all. We did the whole thing, 5 songs in one weekend, you know? So,
okay, so it probably sounds very raw.
Yeah. It
not
is.
Compared to what you got going now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, I love those songs, but, we didn't do them justice. You know, it was supposed to be a demo, and I don't even remember how we got talked into releasing it, but we did. But, you know, this one we're doing right, you know. So we went up to Acadia Valley, Missouri, and recorded with our friend Greg Gill up there at Endeavor Studios. Greg's a guy that John and I have both worked with many times in previous bands over the years, for many years, and he's a phenomenal engineer, really good producer. And just a really, he's a good friend and a great guy. And, always had great results with the stuff I've done with him in the past. And John has too. I did 2 records with him with my last band. I think John, I believe both of his records with Love and War were with Greg as well. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to work with him again on this one. And, man, the results were getting, I mean, everything so far just sounds killer. Yeah. We love it. So it's been great. So, but we're spending a lot of time on it. We're doing it right. You know, this is, you know, the production on it's top notch. So, I can't wait to show it to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the videos that we've been shooting with are with Magic Studios, here in Houston. Kareem Khorshid, is that the right pronunciation? Kareem Khorshid, is taking the reins on it, and his crew, Chubbs and Zach, and, big shout out. Thanks to those guys. They're doing a fantastic job. And, Kareem is also top notch.
Yeah, they look like big production videos there. They're really,
yeah, you know. Man, those guys are so good. I mean, they're so pro. It's just,
crazy
cool stuff. I mean, we're not making videos, we're making little miniature movies.
Yeah, that's right.
It's awesome. And, we're excited about the second one. The first day we did shooting, John and I were there. We weren't in any of the shots. It was all character stuff with the actors that we had hired to do the scenes. And we were there like 16 hours or something. And, but you know, I've seen some of the footage of it, and it just looks so good, man. So, we're going to go up this weekend and do the performance stuff with the band to wrap that up. But those guys, Kareem and his crew are just phenomenal. Like, great. They're not, like I said, they're not just making videos. I mean, they're making movies, man.
Right. Right. Yeah. Is the next video kind of similar to the first one for Devil's Due, or is it completely different?
It's a lot different. It has more of a, I would say kind of almost like a rock country feel, but not country as you would know it. It just has a little bit more of a, maybe, I don't know how you want to say it, Trey. What's your thoughts on it?
It's tough, buddy, because I these days defining genres, especially in country, is like, I mean, these days what they call country is like Poison with a guy with a hick accent singing over it, you know?
Yeah, right. So,
yeah, you're throwing a fiddle and a banjo and it's supposed to be country. That's kind of like this song. It's the same thing. Once you hear it, you're going to say, oh, wow, it's really melodic rock. The storyline on it is a little bit different. It's
a really, really, really cool song that John wrote.
It's a great song, man. Great harmonies. I know you're going to like it, Wayne. I mean, it's when you hear the rest of the record, you're going to flip out. All of these songs are great songs. We got 10 of them recorded, and each one of them, I'm probably going to do a video for the first four.
Okay.
So we're on the second one. We're going to do two more releases, two more videos, and then probably drop the whole record.
Wow. You got a lot of work ahead of you guys.
We do.
These days it's not, it used to be you go record a record and put it out and you're done. Play shows, but not anymore, man. Now it's all about the visual stuff. So
it is. You know? And even my band's trying to do the same thing and trying to figure out, because we do all our stuff ourselves. I wish one day we have production videos like you guys are doing, but for now I'm just doing everything on the cheap and we're doing it ourselves and just trying to come up with ideas of new things to do. Like that, we released an animated video, which came out really cool. A friend of mine did it. That looks professional, but I would like to do like a live band video, like what you guys are doing. But like you said, everything has to be visual nowadays, and you just got to keep people's attention too. You got to do something that looks new and fresh and make people want to watch it. And that's how this Devil's Due video is. It's very, looks very professional, looks almost like a movie type thing. And it came out really well. So I can't wait to see the next videos, and then to see you guys are doing four videos together. And you're doing it before you release the album. Did you plan on like doing that? Because because today you don't know what to do with your music anymore. I feel like you don't know whether you should like release an album or we should just release singles.
We've gone back and forth about that for a long, over and over again. But while we're trying to plan what we're going to do with this thing, but it seems like the way to do it nowadays is singles. At least initially, anyway. So, and we thought, let's do video with each single, or at least the first four, and then we'll go old school and just drop the rest of the record, and see how it goes. It's a wild west out there these days. There's not like there's a set way of doing it. We're just kind of, this is I've never released a record like this before. I know Johnny hasn't either, so it's kind of a, you know, it's a new deal. We're kind of feeling our way along, figuring out what we think might be the best way of going about it. Mm. We got a really good response off the Devil's Due video, man. Like, great.
So I mean, I saw the views. I'm like, wow, geez, for a band that just released a song and you've got so many views on it. I'm like, oh my God.
I think that's kind of the key too, is, you know, and it kind of gave us, you know, the kickstart after we released it and realized, you know, how important that was, because in the whole process of trying to do something different, you got to get people's attention. And we're thinking, well, if we just drop a video, you know, we can keep everybody's attention and, you know, gain all of this fan base and everything. And then hopefully by the time we are ready to drop the record, everybody knows who we are. They've seen the videos, and then, you know, maybe we could sell a few CDs.
Yeah, right. So you guys are still going to put out CDs, because that's another thing too. It's like CDs are dying, but then they're coming back, and I don't know. Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, it's kind of a – initially we were thinking we weren't going to do CDs, and then, yeah, you know, within the last month or so, I was having some conversations with a guy from a label that was, you know, talking to us, and I told him, I was like, no, man, you got to do CDs. You know, he's like, he goes, there's still people that want them. About, so, you know, I don't know. We still haven't figured out what we're going to do with that. But, yeah. I mean, we're going to release it. We're going to release it for sure as a full record. I think John and I are still discussing whether or not we're going to actually put it on a CD. But we're going to do some vinyl for sure. And
I was going to ask you, vinyl's, you're still, I don't know how, but it's still big, even though the prices are going up insane.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Yeah, well, you know, at least a lot of people still want those hard copies, and you know, we're not going to do anything stupid like really, like, you know, go print out 5,000 copies and, you know, end up selling, you know, 300 of them. yeah, we'll get a limited amount, see how they do, you know, and hopefully we won't get stuck.
The CD thing's so weird to me, because, like, I personally don't even have the ability to play a CD anymore. I don't have a CD player in my in my car, in my house. I mean, like. Like
I John, do. I got them all over the place.
Yeah, I got them all, except for my car.
When he finished the Last Love and War record, he gave me a copy of it, and it's still in the cellophane because I have no idea. I went and listened to it online. I'm like, okay, cool. But I know that's that way for a lot of people, but I know there's a lot of people that still dig having the physical products. So.
Yeah, I still buy all my stuff too. And then my, you know, the new computers, they don't have a CD drive, so I had to go buy an external one now. Yeah. And hopefully don't fall off and break on the floor. But, you know, it's like,
I take them, you know, I just put everything on my phone now, man. It's like, you know, put it on, hit the Bluetooth on the car and I'm jamming, you know, but I guess the quality's not as good, but, you know, when you crank it up loud enough, I guess you don't notice.
That's what really bothers, because you hear a song on like iTunes or whatever, and there's that sound. It sounds like a wishy-washy type sound in the music, man. And it drives me insane. And there's nothing you can do about it either. No matter what quality you pick, it's still there. I still hear it, you know? It drives me up the wall. I guess if you know, after a while you start getting used to it, but for me, I can't.
I miss vinyl, you know. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, just that sound of when you drop the needle on the LP and that kind of hiss thing and the tape hiss and stuff, and it sounds so warm and just you know. But I mean, you know, technology is what it is. You know, you got to roll with it. As musicians, it's kind of okay. To me, what's important is the music and what format it's in. You know, we'll try to put it out there in any way that people want it, you know, as much as we can. But it's just, as long as you listen to my song, I don't really care what you listen to it on.
Exactly. It doesn't really, as long as it's available for everybody, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about AI and people using like AI artwork and stuff like that. Are you guys going to use any AI artwork? And what's your thoughts on this thing? Because a couple of bands actually released some album covers and people immediately noticed they were AI and they're flipping out. Now they want to boycott bands that use any form of AI at all. And people are just like so annoyed about this AI thing. So what are your thoughts on this AI?
Well, for me first, my opinion on it is, you know, I believe in being real, you know. I don't think you should, you know, try to deceive anybody or anything. Now, again, you know, you can look at it both ways. You can use AI in your favor, you know, as trying. It's a good way, you know, to do things differently, like instead of like saying doing things animated or whatever, you can do it that way, but don't do it in the context of trying to fool somebody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think, and when people know they're deceived, whether it's intentional or not, that's pretty much when, you know, the coin flips and everybody starts flipping out, you know, and like what, whatever. But personally, we've never used it. I don't foresee us using it.
No, you know, definitely not. Look, man, I saw the Terminator. Okay, I was going to say that. And that pretty much
that's old school shit.
AI. Yeah, that's the old AI.
AI now, you can't even tell the difference.
No. Although, if you look at the hands, there'll be a deformed finger or about like an extra like two or three digits, and then you know it's AI. But most of the time, you can't notice. It's you know, it's getting scary. But what's your thoughts on that, Trey? You just no, yeah, you the whole.
Oh, dude, I'm just like no, absolutely no. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was goofing around the other day on my phone, and just you know, experimenting, and I hit the thing, and I said, you know, write me a song about walking my dog, you know, and it spits out this goofy, you know, it does it in like 3 seconds, you know, and get a song, and I, you know, and it's not a great song, but but as a songwriter, I'm like, okay, this sucks, man. You know, I mean, it would take me, you know, an hour and a half to do that. It did it in 3 seconds, and you know, mine probably would have been better, but I mean, we're going to see a whole lot of that crap in the future where it's just garbage, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, the music's already popular music these days is already kind of going to some garbage stuff, but you know, you throw the AI thing in there and it gets worse. It takes a human element out of it. And the whole reason that music exists in the first place is, you know, human expression.
And creativity, you gotta express yourself, be creative and everything. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense to avoid all of that just for the sake of writing a song.
Yeah, it takes everything emotion. that makes music great out of it. You know, so I am 1,000% anti AI. Like hell no, I want nothing to do with it. Like I said, I saw the Terminator, man. I'm like, no, I'm done.
Yeah, we don't need none of that anymore. You're going to release the singles and then the album. What do you have a title for the album? Is there, you know, any tentative titles or?
Yeah, it's called Dust Bowl.
Okay. All right. Where'd that come from?
Trey?
There's a song on the record called Dust Bowl. The song's kind of it's a story song about a John Dillinger type character during the Dust Bowl era, during the Depression and stuff, that robs a bank. And it's just, you know, it's a cool story. But when we were throwing around ideas about what to name the record, I just like the visual, what that phrase represents. It kind of represents what we're trying to do with this record. Is this kind of a, gosh, man, like a underbelly of the South kind of thing. The dark underbelly, if you will, you know, and that would, a lot of our songs are come from that kind of perspective. A lot of them do. Most of them do probably where, you know, we're not writing happy joy songs, you know, they're gritty. And a lot of them lyrically, there's a lot of grit there, you know, and I don't like writing about it. I mean, happy stuff's boring, man. So
it really is. There's enough happy stuff out there. We need some
things. I like to write about dark stuff. And
nefarious characters of, you know, like Judge Roy Bean. And
yeah, man. I like stuff that's got a little bit of dark underbelly grit to it. You know, that's what I like to write about. So, I think Johnny does too. And we kind of.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of that. Most of our stuff on this record, there's nothing. I don't think there's a single song on there you could call happy, you know. But
it's easier to write dark songs, you know.
I think so.
Well,
I mean, you know,
there's,
I was
because there's more to it, you know. There's just more going on, you know. And it seems more happy all day.
It's really
a lot more interesting than you know, sunshine and rainbows. Right. You know?
Well, when you're trying to write, it's you know, you can find a whole lot more interesting content in something that's dark and than you can in, you know, like John says, sunshine and rainbows. Happy shit is, I mean, okay, you're happy. That's boring, man. So I like writing about stuff that's got some, you know, I mean, the world isn't that, I mean, yeah, we can be happy, but there's a lot of ugly shit out there. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of going on, yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't know if I could say that word on the air, but you know, it's, I just find that more interesting as song fodder, you know, just write about stuff that's a little bit, got a little more meat on the bone, you know, and the what happened during the Dust Bowl era, if you, you know, if you look it up, read about it, man, it was some pretty dark stuff that those people went through, you know, you know, I like the imagery of it. I thought it'd make a cool album cover. So, and you know, I pitched it to the band and they all went, yeah, that's cool. So that's where we're at. And, you know, our bass player was like, dude, I hate naming a record after a song. And so I was like, well, dude, I'll change the name of the song then. You know, fine. That's where we're at.
And we did. So now it's called The Outlaw Blues. and the record is called Dust Bowl. And I don't know if you've seen the album cover.
No, I haven't.
If you go to our website, which is
it's right here, yeah, with the truck, yes,
yeah, okay. with the truck and the sandstorm, yeah, that's something my brother's an art. My brother,
oh, very cool.
I did the artwork.
AI generated.
Yeah. Good.
At least okay.
It doesn't look like it's AI.
That's right.
Although, yeah, I could be fooled.
And neither were any of the songs.
Although the band picture looks AI generated, I don't think these guys are real. The singer's got an extra finger there. I don't know what's that about. No, but it looks that's a really cool album cover. I do like that a lot. Yeah,
cool.
And yeah, I like the title of the song, because also too, you know what it is, you name an album a title of the song and you almost kind of feel like that song has to probably be like the best song on the album.
Yeah, that was the argument our bass player had. It you know, it's probably not the best song on the record, but it's just the one with the coolest name, you know. Right, so, right.
And you guys, and remember when we were growing up as kids, you know, remember we used to go and get our vinyl records, you know, and we'd study them, you know, front to cover, you know, religiously. And if there ever was a title track, it was usually like the third or fourth song, you know, in line. And you always said, that's got to be the best song, you know, but it's really not.
Most of the time it's not.
Yeah, exactly. But you always think it is. I guess just the way...
well, because you figure if you're going to put it on the front album cover, it's got to be like the best thing on the album. But sometimes it's not. give me some... when you were recorded the Devil's Due video, anything like happened on that video or any kind of... did you have any fun on it making that? Obviously you did because it looked like a great time, but...
Yeah, it was a blast.
Well, man, so we did... well, God, we spent like 16 hours working on that thing. So, you know, it was a long day, but there was a scene where we're standing at the bar and we're supposed to be drinking shots, but, and I must have had...
Trey, before you do that, let's set it up prior where, remember the tattoo?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with that. So Kareem, the producer, kept saying, look, we need to rub some lotion on your tattoos because they'll pop out more on the video.
Okay.
So he kept giving him this bottle of Aveeno, you know, lotion and putting it on him. So
before every take, you know,
so more lotion on him.
Boy, it must have been slippery.
You know,
he disappeared to the restroom a few times, but anyway.
So the guys are all there. They're like, it puts the lotion on the skin, you know. And it's like, so it became a running joke, you know, during the video. Yeah. And that, you know, Trey's got freaking lotion all over him the whole day, and that was pretty funny. But then, and we're doing the shot where we're all standing at the bar drinking. So it's supposed to look like we're drinking whiskey. It wasn't whiskey. I was going to say, look, y'all, we did not, I would have been falling down because I drank like 47 shots or whatever in the making of that video. And you know, it was iced tea, man. Cause it was, I would have been probably, you know, like alcohol poisoning dead as many shots as I did. But, and I just remember, I'm like, yeah, I drank so much. We bought at the convenience store, just bought like a bottle of iced tea, you know, or something. And I drank like three of those while we're shooting that thing.
Wow.
And I just had to pee like every 5 minutes.
So what happened is we had talked it out beforehand, and we were going to shoot the scene with Trey up at the bar. He's contemplating, you know, part of the video, and it's just him and the bartender. And one of our actors was supposed to come up to the bar and slap some money down on the bar. And the money was going to be how he got his guitar back at the end of the video, because he lost it in a bet. Mm. So everybody was in on the prank, except, of course, Trey didn't know. So he was like, okay, we're shooting, shoot. And he said, Trey, you know, walk to the bar. So Trey's down there. He's got his head down. Our actor walks up. Instead of slapping the money down, he slaps the bottle of lotion. And of course, and then Trey's not supposed to see it until he, and then you'll hear Kareem say, okay, Trey, lift up your head. He lifts up his head, and there he is with the bottle of lotion. And the whole place lights up. Everybody's laughing, and you know, and Trey's laughing. Anyway, we saved that clip, and we haven't put it on the website yet.
We made a, you know, outtakes video after we got done. And we sent that out to the people that signed up on our website to be like our mailing list folks. Those are the only people that have seen it, I believe. But we'll put it out to the rest of the world eventually. But, you know, but that's on there. It was still, God, that was so funny. I mean, I literally felt that. Our buddy Tom's like, you know, he was supposed to be like the record company guy or something, just some dude in a bar that comes up and gives you his business card, a big wad of cash, and goes, hey man, I like your band, bye, and you know, whatever. And so the scene, like John said, the director's like, I'm supposed to be all dejected with my head hanging down, and I'm not looking, I'm just kind of looking at the bar. And Tom walks up, and he's supposed to, you know, come up and just throw a big wad of cash on the bar right in front of me. And then I lift my head and look at him. So, you know, that's how it's supposed to go. So I've got my head down. I'm not looking at him at all. I'm trying really hard not to, right? Yeah. And I hear clunk, and I'm like, that's a big wad of money, man. It made more. And I lift my head up, and it's a bottle of freaking hand lotion. And the entire place was just, and they all knew about it, you know, set me up, but, and I had no idea, but man, it was funny. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Now, if I go back and watch that video, I'm going to have those images, which is, it's funny.
Another real quick thing on the video. You'll see Dale Roscoe, who's a fantastic guitar player. He's the guy who plays our, you know, protagonist, nemesis, whatever, the bad guy. And there's a scene where you'll see him where he takes a pistol and he slams it down in front of Trey. Well, he had his fingers underneath it, and he did the best to do it. But when he slammed it down, he like smashed his finger. So watch his face. He did a great job of trying
After
we finished the scene, he was like, "Oh, motherfucker!"
So the table that we use in the video is my table from my back patio. You know,
okay.
We threw it in the truck and took it up there. We needed a table to play poker on, and it looks cool, kind of rustic looking. It was perfect for what we did. So I brought it up there, and we did that take, like that shot, like, I don't know, 30 times or whatever. And I looked down at one point, and I'm like, Dale, you're gouging the crap out of my table, man, every time he slams the gun down on it. So the next take we did, he was trying not to slam it on the table, and he kept his fingers under it and smashed the hell out of his finger. And, you know, and I was like, dude, you didn't have to do that, you know, but he feels like, John, what is he, like 6'5 or something? He's a giant.
He's a big dude.
He's a really big dude.
He's in our next video. You know how Twisted Sister always had that same guy in a lot of their videos?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, we're using Dale like him. So he's in our next video with Bobblehead Jesus, and he plays the bad guy. He plays the father of the two actors, which one is his son, and then it's his son's girlfriend. And
the girlfriend's dad.
Dad. So he's in it again. So you'll see when it comes out, you'll see Dale in it again.
Dale's just, he pulls off big, scary looking dude really well. Oh, you know?
Yeah, so, man. He's just got one of those faces when he just looks at you like it goes right through you, you know.
You know, he'll be in our next one. And man, I'm thinking we should just make it a tradition and keep him in
Carry on sister's fucking tradition, man. Have that same dude in the
mouth. Yeah, man. He's Yeah, he's great, but yeah, that it was funny when we did the take. And he smashed his finger. He goes, "Ow!" And he was like real quiet, "Ow!" And then I just busted out laughing. You know, it was like, so that's on the outtakes too. But yeah, we had a lot of fun that day. It was a long day, but you know, the thing about shooting videos, man, is folks who haven't done it. It's like you might spend, I don't know, 2 hours or 3 hours where you're actually on camera, but you're there for like
all day,
18 hours while they're all setting up crap and moving lights around and all this. So it's a long, long, long day. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. So you got to have some fun in the middle of it, because otherwise you're going to go crazy.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right. So now, what about your guys' other bands? Asriel's Bane, are they you still going around, or what's going on?
Bane is on, I'm going to call it probably permanent hiatus. Mm. I mean, we never officially broke up, but I don't know that I see us pulling it back together. I'm not opposed to it. Everybody's kind of gone off in their own direction and doing their own things now. You know, two of the guys from Asriel's Bane are in Dead Man's Hand, the drummer. Mm-hmm. Bane, so Brent and Van are both members of Asriel's Bane, but, I think we're probably done. I mean, I'm never going to say never, but I think that band, we had a good run, man. We did a lot of cool stuff, made two really great records, and played a lot of great shows all over the country. And we went to Mexico and played with Motorhead, and you know, did some cool shit. We had a really, really good run, but you know, I think band's time has come, you know, so I think I'm done.
Yeah. So is Dead Man's Hand going to be like your main focus from now on?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Right now, Dead Man's Hand that's the only band I'm in anymore. So most of the rest of the guys got other stuff going on. For me personally, Dead Man's Hand's it.
Yeah.
And yeah. For me, right now, it's Dead Man's Hand is my main focus. Love and War is kind of on a hiatus as well. I started writing some new songs and everything, and we just had some issues that happened on our last show that we're trying to work through. And you know, I'm sure we'll probably do something again, but right now we're just taking some time. And my focus is on this band right now.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Well, hopefully that, you know, gets back together and everything gets straightened out with you guys. But you know, because it was really good. Put some really good songs there. So, but Dead Man's Hand is really cool. Like I said, I'm not a huge Southern rock fan, but I do like this song so far. So I'm really, what you've told me so far about the next song, I'm really interested to hear what that's going to be like. So can't wait to hear it. Cool. And can't wait for everybody else to hear it too. And you guys seem to be doing great so far. I've seen your YouTube subscribers are ridiculous, and the views that you got on that last video. And I think hopefully that this is going to be a big thing for you guys.
Yeah, you know, we're getting great responses. We actually just played out in LA. We played at the Viper Room on the Strip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. And everything went great there. We got really good responses from all the local people there, and we had a great time. And it's good to get the band out and in front of some other people. And that's another thing we're going to focus on right now. After we get a couple videos done and we can kind of loosen up a little bit, we want to get the band out, get it out of the Houston area, and start letting people know who we are.
Yeah. Are you seeing a little bit more like traction with this band from your other bands? Is this one getting a little bit more notoriety a little bit, you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, I sunk so much money and time into Love and War, and it just was really hard to get anybody to notice. And then we get this band together, and within the first month and a half, we have almost 6,000 views. And I mean, our Facebook and all our social media pages doubled. And
wow.
It's just, I know it's insane. I don't get it. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I've always been a hard rock metal guy. I always will be, you know. And a lot of us, as well as yourself, I know you like different types of music. I'm sure in all your CDs behind you, you're going to have some different stuff other than metal.
Pop, rock, and everything else.
So, you know, you get my point. And so for us, I guess this type of music just reaches more of a diverse crowd, if you will. It's not just that genre of metalheads or whatever. There's more people. And I think that's the key right there. And that seems to be what you know, is pushing us along.
I think speaking for myself, you know, Azrael's Bane, we did well. We did. That band did pretty well, you know, and we had a good run. But it's a more like focused fan base, you know, Bane's exactly. More like a progressive metal band. So it's a more, you know, it's a tighter base. Whereas this stuff, I think, is more accessible to.
To pretty much anybody, from what I heard.
You know, I mean, if you like rock and roll music at all, then there's a good chance you might like what we're doing, you know? So, I mean, I hear a lot of great comments from people that are fans of what I've done in the past from Bane that love what we're doing, you know? You know, there's people that have been coming to my shows for, you know, 20 years with other projects, they still come to every Dead Man's Hand show because they dig what we're doing, you know. So, and then we're drawing a whole lot of new people too, that, you know, which is cool, like really cool. Like the YouTube thing, I mean, we're shocked. I mean, the video, we got 50,000 views almost, you know, and it's only been out like 6 weeks or something. So it's like, it's awesome,
right?
And you know, I don't know, 3,500 or something subscribers. That's our first video, you know? Yeah. So, like John said, it's kind of like, whoa. I mean, that now, you know, I guess it's not like it's blowing up where we're going to, you know, be able to, I'm not going to go buy a Ferrari or anything next week, but
if the next video does, maybe,
but, you know, it seems to be doing well. People are responding well. It's exciting for us. You know, I think this music's really accessible and it should appeal to a broader audience. You know, I mean, you can be a fan of Iron Maiden or a fan of, you know, friggin' Kenny Chesney and still like us, you know? So it's like, or whatever, you know, it's just more of a broad appeal. And some of that's by design, you know, but this band and the guys that are in it, all four of us are, you know, like veteran hard rock and metal guys that have been doing that for most of us, like 30 years or more, you know, right. With long careers. We've been doing, you know, a long, 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 long time. And for all of us, this style of music is a brand new thing for us. It's a new, we're trying something brand new. It's not, we don't know what the hell we're doing. You know, it's like, we don't.
Hey, I know exactly what I'm doing, buddy.
But, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, trying to promote it and stuff. It's like, I mean, I know a ton of people in the metal community, but, you know, trying to get out there and promote this, I'm like, man, I don't know anybody. So it's kind of a,
We got Ben, you know, goes to show you how many people we know, you know.
And every interview we're doing, it's you know, primarily with somebody that's got a hard rock or metal fan base going with those deal. And then we're like, well, you know, so okay. So I'm like, dude, I'm sorry to come in and jump on your show with our not metal stuff. I hope you don't mind.
Obviously our past is helping us promote this new stuff, you know. But the good news is it's just good music, you know, and again, you don't have to be a metalhead to just love metal. And we're getting a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon now. All they got to do is you just got to get the music out there, let the people hear it. And then, you know, if they dig it and it's got a good vibe, then, you know, it'll sell itself.
Definitely. I think there's a good crossover between the metal fans and what you guys are doing. I think it can fit in there, you know, definitely. There's some stuff that I listen to that's not metal at all. And it's, you know, completely, you know, out of my genre and stuff like that. But I still listen to it. I still listen to metal. So you just got to find the right metalheads that are kind of open to listen to other stuff. You know, I know a lot of them are closed-minded, but there's a lot of them.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We're not going to get to the whole other show.
I was like that for years, man. It was just, you know,
I can't stand that.
Iron Maiden, UFO, you know, Thin Lizzy, you know, whatever it was. I mean, I didn't want to listen to anything else.
I mean, I was like that when I was in like high school, but I think
it was like you get over that at some point when you get older.
Yeah, I mean, my early 20s is when I was like, okay, you know, like way out of left field, but you know, Prince, like when I was in high school, it was when Purple Rain came out, and like a lot of people I knew were really into it, and I was like, oh, that guy sucks, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was like 22, 23 or something, and I think I saw the movie, and I was like, oh, wow, this doesn't suck. So I went and bought the record, you know, and then I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's a freaking genius, you know, but it's like, you got to give it a chance to figure that out. And in high school, me didn't, you know.
But
you get a little older and you know, and you take off your blinders, you know, and well, I know taste change as much as just you're open to more. You're like, maybe I don't know everything, you know. It's like
at some point you get tired of listening to metal. You want to see what else is around.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, that's the same thing you had with Prince, which I still cannot stand. I've tried and tried and tried. David Bowie. I did not like him when I was younger at all. And then as I got older, somebody I knew was listening to older Bowie albums, and she was a younger girl. And I'm like, God, you like Bowie? So, you know, I respected what she listened to. And I started listening to more and more Bowie stuff. And I'm like, God, I missed all of this. This is like, it's really good, you know?
Did you know David Bowie wrote All the Young Dudes for Mott the Hoople?
Yeah, yeah. And he sang it. He did his own version.
All those background vocals are all him.
All him. But then he did his own version, and it's terrible.
It was terrible.
It's terrible. It's gone.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, you know, in my, I guess it was my early 20s, and an older friend of mine turned me on to the Stones, where, I, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, okay, you heard this stuff on the radio, but that was it. I wasn't a fan. You know, that's old people music or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, dude, he made me a cassette copy of Sticky Fingers. He goes, dude, just go home and listen to this, like really listen to this. I'm like, all right, man, fine, I'll do it, you know. And I did, and it was just absolutely blew me away, like how incredible that stuff was, you know. And a lot of this, what became what we're doing now, started for me anyway from that moment, where I was like, okay, that kind of music is freaking badass, you know? And, when I was a kid, I never gave the time of day, but,
right.
You know, but there's some incredible stuff going on with that stuff, you know? And it's just a matter of like, open up your mind a little bit, check it out. And, you know, that, and the Stones led me to other stuff, but that was the moment for me where it started was when the Sticky Fingers record, which I think came out like 1968 or something like that, you know, you know, it was probably, we're talking like, I don't know, 1992 or 93 or something before I ever really discovered it. Mm. And, but it changed my outlook completely and became something that influenced me greatly as a songwriter later on in life, you know? So, like I would call those guys one of my primary influences today. So, you know, there's a whole lot of great stuff out there, man. You just got to look, you know, open your mind a little bit and check it out.
Yeah. You just got to be wanting to do that, you know, step out of your safe zone. You know, a lot of people need to do that, especially you people out there. You need to step out of that damn safe zone.
That's right.
And listen to Dead Man's Hand.
Please. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I like it. I like how you think.
Yeah, and can't wait. When do we think that next single is going to be? It's in March, you said?
Late March.
Yeah, at least 3 weeks, probably. It's a good assessment.
Yeah, I would say probably last week of March is what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Well, can't wait to see it. And again, I wish you guys the best of luck. And I hope this is it for you guys. You guys are going to be up on the top. Maybe you'll be opening for Metallica or something. I don't know. It would be a weird show, but I think it would actually be a really good show. I think it would work, to be honest with you. It would work really well. But I wish the best of luck for you guys.
Thank you, brother.
John, it's really nice seeing you again.
Always, my friend. Yes, yeah. Thanks. And, we'll keep you posted. We'll keep you posted on the new single and everything. If you don't hear from one of us, you know,
I'm sure Ben will send it to me.
Reach out.
All right. Sounds very good. Very good. Okay, Craig, cool. Very nice meeting you. And where can people go? And you got a website, of course, right?
Yeah. DMHTX.com.
Oh, don't make it hard at all.
Yeah. Dead Man's Hand TX, Texas. DMHTX.com. It links to all our socials, everything there, man. So
I went to Amazon. Is that what you're on Amazon too? Like, it says Dead Man's Hand and it's got like TXX or whatever. What is that about?
Yeah. There's like
HTX.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, I don't know, 300 Dead Man's Hands out there. And,
four or five anyway.
Oh, so yeah, you guys aren't original at all.
So yeah. So we played under that moniker for so long. We're like, we're not getting rid of it, man. But so we put the official title of the band is Dead Man's Hand HTX, Houston, Texas. But, you know, so if you just Google Dead Man's Hand, you're going to come up with about 600 different things. And we'll be in there somewhere, but.
You will be in there somewhere. But the HTX sets us apart from everything else.
Yeah, the HTX.
Help out.
But the website is DMHTX. So, and then you can find us.
Not confusing at all.
No, not really.
Yeah. It would have been DMHHTX. That's too confusing. So, but anyway, man, I'm sorry. I don't know. We should just call the band John Adams and the Boys or something, but it didn't work out that way.
Maybe the next band you do.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, again, thank you guys so much for coming on. I had a lot of fun, and good luck to everything you do.
Thanks for having us, Wayne. We appreciate you, brother. We'll be in touch.
All right. Sounds good. And everybody, RatSoundReview.com. We will be back next week. And I'm on Rat Sound Review Radio. So don't forget, check in to Rat Sound Review Radio on freeworld.fm. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.